to a certain degree the reactions of schizophrenia, dementia praecox, of manic depressive psychosis, or of paranoia without being sufficiently disabled or so generally irrational as to be recognized as psychotic. Many patients suffering from incipient disorders of this sort or from dementia paralytica, cerebral arteriosclerosis, and other organic conditions pass through a preliminary phase during which their thought and behavior are to a certain degree characteristic of the psychosis, while for the time being they remain able to function satisfactorily in the community. Some people in the early stage of these familiar clinical disorders behave, on the whole, with what is regarded as mental competency while showing, from time to time, symptoms typical of the psychosis toward which they are progressing. After the disability has at last become openly manifest, one can often, in retrospect, note enough episodes of deviated conduct to make the observer wonder why the subject was not long ago recognized as psychotic. It would, however, sometimes be not only difficult but unfair to pronounce a person totally disabled while most of his conduct remains acceptable. Do we not, as a matter of fact, have to admit that all of us behave at times with something short of rationality and good judgment? I recall a highly respected businessman who, after years of outstanding commercial success, began to send telegrams to the White House ordering the president to dispatch the Atlantic Fleet to Madagascar and to execute Roman Catholics. There was at this time no question, of course, about his disability. A careful study revealed that for several years he had occasionally made fantastic statements, displayed extraordinary behavior, for instance, once putting the lighted end of a cigar to a stenographer's neck by way of greeting, and squandered thousands of dollars buying up stamp collections, worthless atticfuls of old furniture, and sets of encyclopedias by the dozen. None of these purchases had he put to any particular use. When finally discovered to be incompetent from illness, an investigation of his status showed that he had thrown away the better part of $1 million. For months, he had been maintaining 138 bird dogs scattered over the countryside, 42 horses, and 14 women, to none of whom he resorted for the several types of pleasure in which such dependents sometimes play a part. Aside from persons in the early stages of progressive illness, one finds throughout the nation, and probably over the world, a horde of citizens who stoutly maintain beliefs regarded as absurd and contrary to fact by society as a whole. Often these people indulge in conduct that to others seems unquestionably irrational. For example, the daily newspapers continue to report current gatherings in many states where hundreds of people handle poisonous snakes, earnestly insisting that they are carrying out God's will. Death from snake bite among these zealous worshipers does not apparently dampen their ardor. Small children, too young to arrive spontaneously at similar conclusions concerning the relation between faith and venom, are not spared by their parents this intimate contact with the rattler and the copperhead. It is, perhaps, not remarkable that prophets continually predict the end of the world, giving precise and authoritative details of what so far has proved no less fanciful than the delusions of patients confined in psychiatric hospitals. That scores and sometimes hundreds or even thousands of followers accept these prophecies might give the thoughtful more cause to wonder. Newspaper clippings and magazine articles before the writer at this moment describe numerous examples of such behavior. In a small Georgia town, 20 earnest disciples sit up with a pious lady who has convinced them that midnight will bring the millennium. An elderly clergyman in California, whose more numerous followers are likewise disappointed when the designated moment passes uneventfully, explains that there is no fault with his divine vision, but only some minor error of calculation which arose from differences between the biblical and the modern calendars. During the last century, an even more vehement leader had thousands of people, in New England and in other states, out on the hillsides expecting to be caught up to glory as dawn broke. Indeed, conviction was so great that at sunrise many leaped from cliffs, roofs, and silos, one zealot having tied turkey wings to his arms the better to provide for flight. Those who had hoped to ascend found gravity unchanged.